It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
God is good, brothers and sisters. We are glad to be with you today. And today is the 7th of May. God is good here in the Flemons home. Mom is still with us. God is working amazing miracles. We don't know what he's doing. We don't even know why he's doing it. But this is day 18 with no dialysis. And pulse is normal. Blood oxygen levels are normal. Don't know what the blood pressure is. The hospice nurse came the last time, and they use a wrist, monitor, because they don't want to cause a lot of discomfort. Sometimes that other kind, squeezes the arm, and they're not trying to do all of that. And so she didn't get a good reading because there was some, she said, maybe a little fluid in this area. But blood oxygen is one of the best things we can use right now because it will decrease when a person is about to go to sleep, hopefully in Jesus. Amen. And that's where my mother is, because she's given her heart to the Lord. So that's where we are. Just wanted to give a spiritual family an update. I can tell you we thought that she was a little mucus yesterday, and we have a little way of suctioning some of that out when she coughs, and the blood oxygen went down into the 80s, and so we thought that was, and it might have been, and it might be, but, the beginning of, a slow, end, but it's a peaceful one in this situation. But as of late last night and early this morning, the blood oxygen levels are back up into the 90s, 92, 93, and so that's the report. That's all I can tell you. We're just along for the ride. God has given us this assignment. It's been for over 2.5 years taking care of Mom, and we're going to, a decision, of course, was made because she wasn't tolerating dialysis well. So the Lord is good. Is it because he's trying to witness to somebody about Mom is probably one of the only dialysis patients in the world, or in the United States at least, that the world would call vegan. They say you can't do it. You can't be plant-based in if you're on dialysis. You have to eat meat. So most of them eat meat. But for 2.5 years of my mother's life, she has had no meat. She's had no dairy products, unless somebody handed her something while we were away. But we don't think so. And so could this be God witnessing to some people about the health message? We don't know. But Mom's still with us. That's my report. And let's pray. Father, thank you very much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that you bless us now as we open the Word and study, and we have our wellness segment as well. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God is good, my friends. It's time now for our opening song. It's about time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
It's about time for the coming of Christ your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. Lift up your head.
We took yesterday morning and dealt with Acts chapter 2, the first part, and we entitled it Speaking in Tongues, part 1. For our Sabbath service, and I will post this to YouTube and also on the WhatsApp list. And I hope Yashir be able to put it on our TORWM.org broadcast. But the bottom line is we dealt with part two. We dealt with 1 Corinthians 14 and showed how it is the exact same experience as Acts 2. It is not the speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. It's not some private holy language that you talk to God and you don't know what you're saying and the Spirit of God comes over you and you just, you know, have things to say that are unintelligible. That's not in the Bible. We learned Paul didn't pray that way in verse 14, which is a misunderstood verse. Paul said, if I pray with an unknown tongue, that's like, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. They hadn't humbled themselves. And so God couldn't do what he promised in 2 Chronicles 7:14, heal their land. But he said, if you do this, I will, you know, heal your land. So he said, if I pray in an unknown tongue. Then the next verse said, he said, I would be praying without my understanding. But then the next verse said, I don't pray. He said, I pray with my understanding, which means I don't pray in an unknown tongue. Okay. So that verse, which is used to justify people having in their personal devotions this euphoria. You know, because some people do it in church, some people do it at home. It's not in the Bible. That's all I'm saying. It's not in the Bible. We are going back to the book of Acts because there's more in Acts chapter 2. So our title today is Why David is Not in Heaven. Now, everybody would know that David should be in heaven. Yes, he committed adultery. He committed murder. But God let him write Psalms, you know, and the book of Psalms. And did he write the book of Proverbs? I have to remember whether he wrote the book of Proverbs or did Solomon. But he wrote the book of Psalms, that's for sure. And he's a man after God's own heart. He gave much prophecy regarding Christ. David was converted, brothers and sisters. And the point being made is that you would know that David should have everlasting life when Jesus comes again. But people who believe that when you die, you go straight to heaven should expect David to be in heaven. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says, we're just going to pick up a few verses into how we where we left off. So we left off, I think, at verse 23, but we'll read verse 22, and then we'll read through the rest of the chapter. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Now let's get the context. This is Acts chapter 2, right after the Holy Spirit fell. This is the sermon Peter preached after they were had received the gift of tongues, and people were amazed, and everybody came to listen to them. This is Peter's message. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, brothers and sisters, some of you all know what I mean when I say the spirit of prophecy. And in the spirit of prophecy, she mentioned something about the counsel of peace. The Council of Peace, where the Father and the Son went into a private meeting and they discussed how to handle a sin problem if it was to develop, and they discussed the creation of a human race on planet Earth. Satan, Lucifer at the time, was not invited. That was the real beginning of his envy. She says that that's what the Council of Peace was. I'll read it to you in Zechariah 6:13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Zechariah 6:13. Well, who would be both? It would have to be one and the other, and one of them would be a ruler. So it would have to be the Father and the Son. But she specifically says that in the spirit of prophecy. Well, I'm going to share with you that that's mentioned in the Bible. It's this determinate council, the determined council, the Council of Peace. That was a council where they determined what was going to happen if there was sin that would come upon the earth. So I just want you to see it in the Bible. This determinate council, it says, him being delivered by the determinate council and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, so David, in his writings, actually is prophesying about Christ. Now, that's interesting, because some people believe that when you read an Old Testament scripture, it only applies to the context of the Old Testament. But David was speaking of Christ when he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. It says in verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, brothers and sisters, this could have a dual purpose. The word hell here means, it comes from the Greek word Hades. Have you ever heard of a verse that says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, the word grave is also Hades, okay? It's a dark place. It's a place of obscurity. And it is also used to refer to the grave. So even though it's sometimes interpreted hell, it can mean grave, okay? You just need to understand that it can have that meaning in the Greek. And therefore, that would make sense, because the Bible teaches that hellfire is not burning now. If hellfire was burning now, the devil should be in it. And he's not in it. How do you know he's not in it? Because he's bothering you, and he's bothering me. And if he's not in it, then God would not be fair, because if you go straight to heaven, if you're good, then you would go straight to hell if you're bad. And that means bad people like Cain, who's been around for 6,000 years, was alive about 6,000 years ago, that means he's got to burn 6,000 years longer than the devil himself. That doesn't make sense. That's not fair. He shouldn't burn longer than the devil. Friends, we've been told a lie. It came into by the devil and through means of the Roman Catholic Church, which taught that when you die, you go straight to heaven or to hell. Then they added purgatory. Then you have to pay your way out of hell into purgatory. Then you had to pay your way out of purgatory into heaven. So it enriched the church. So you had to teach that good people go to a good place, so they could teach that bad people go to a bad place. They could scare the people, and then people would be inspired to give money to the church to buy. See, the church said they have the keys to the kingdom, and they could, you know, by a determination, get you out of hell. So, friends, it was a lie. David is not in heaven. Peter's not in heaven. Paul's not in heaven. John, the Revelator, is not in heaven. None of the disciples are in heaven. Mary Magdalene is not in heaven, but they are resting in the grave, waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I just want to share that with you. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, that's Hades again, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, verse 29, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, that's Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. See, Jesus wasn't in the grave long enough for his body to decay, okay? He died just before the Sabbath hours on Friday, and by Sunday morning, he had been resurrected, and that's not enough time for the body to decay. Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, wherefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, that ye now see and hear. And verse 34 is very powerful. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, so David is not in heaven, friends. The Bible says it. It's very clear. And David was a good man. Okay? We all make mistakes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But David is not in heaven. And so that means none of the righteous except those who have been resurrected, like Moses. The Bible speaks of his body being taken by Michael the archangel, who is Jesus. How do we know? Because he's the only one that's the resurrection and the life, okay? Then the Bible says when Jesus rose, there were others who rose from the grave and went into the town to preach Jesus, and it was a manifested miracle. I wouldn't think that God would just have them go back into those graves. I believe he took them also to heaven. And so there have been people resurrected from the dead. And there are also people who never died who were translated. We know Enoch was translated. We know Enoch was translated, and we know Elijah was translated, okay? The Bible says so. And so, but those who died, you have to be resurrected. And that is not the vast majority of God's people. The vast majority of God's people will wake up when the trumpet sounds, and the dead are raised incorruptible, the Bible says, and we shall be changed. All right. The Bible goes on to say, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you have people that say that that's how you should be baptized, and the baptism doesn't work unless you say those words, baptized in the name of Jesus. Friends, this was a special baptism. Jesus himself said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whereof I commanded thee. But you see, this was right after his death, and so people had to make that hard decision. Am I going to accept Jesus, that he was the Christ? And so they were baptized in the name of Jesus, kind of like a special baptism, because that was special new truth that people received, okay? And so they were baptized in that name. But Jesus himself, as he looked past that point, it's not a critical thing for us to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Most people believe that Jesus existed. They had to acknowledge that Jesus existed. So that was present truth for them. That's my understanding. But we do what Jesus told us to do, because he looks far beyond right after his resurrection. Okay, that was only 50 days after his resurrection. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Okay, friends. So as we want to look at some point in the future having a baptism, be praying about it, that God might be leading you to be baptized. Some for the first time, maybe. Some have learned significant new truths that you publicly state that you accept. That's all baptism is. It's a public acknowledgement that I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. I'm going to continue to walk in his way. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. It's a public statement. It's symbolic. There's no magic in the water, but it's a symbolic symbol, symbolic gesture, ordinance, where the old person is buried. You let all the other stuff go, all the error go, and you arise walking newly with Christ. That's the symbol of baptism, friends. And so, reading on, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. This is a symbol of true ministry. They continued in the doctrine of the apostles, in the fellowship with the apostles. That means preachers who are godly come close to the people. And in breaking of bread, even in visiting their homes, okay? Or having them visit the pastor's home, okay? It is not what you see today where the minister is untouchable. He's just up there and, with a bodyguard and so on and so forth, just untouchable. A multimillionaire, untouchable man, that's what you see. And they call that the blessing of God. Friends, that's not the way they did it in the Bible. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. You see, when the Holy Spirit falls upon us, our possessions, we're not going to selfishly hold on to them. We're going to be looking out for others. We're going to be willing to sacrifice for the cause to help others who are in need, who are of like faith, and even those who are not of like faith. We will do all we can to help humanity. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and meat, by the way, is food, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the ending of Acts chapter 2. We'll be picking it up again with Acts chapter 3 on tomorrow. May God bless you. Father, be with us this morning. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace. We ask that you bless us now as we continue our study. In Jesus' name we pray. And our time together in Jesus' name. We'll take a break. We'll be back to talk about how fasting heals you. We know God is the only healer, but God does use fasting. And we'll be talking about what it does for you as when we come back after our intermission.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And on our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
this song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. For our health segment, we want to talk about fasting and how fasting heals. Now, again, God is the only healer, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:26-29, that God uses simple things to confound the wise. And he does it so that he will be glorified. Check out verse 29. So, my brothers and sisters, simply fasting. Now, fasting is actually lowering your calorie intake so that the body can do some healing, or that the spiritual person can be strengthened. What actually happens when you have less calories? So that could be using juices. It could be a water-only fast. Some people don't take anything in. That won't cause you to live too long. But the point being made is that that's what fasting is. And so what happens when your body has a lessening of calories, okay? When your body has a lessening of calories, the body says, hey, he or she is not giving me what I used to get. So it starts trying to find ways to get energy. And so it's going to start metabolizing the least desirable thing. So if you have a cancerous tumor, if you have just waste matter that is causing disease, the body will try to eat all that up, burn it all up, to try to look for some calories, to look for some energy. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful concept, because through fasting, many conditions have been alleviated because of that. Even in what we're dealing with right now, I do believe that the lower caloric intake that my loved one is receiving, God is using that, and it's just kind of, her body is still being sustained by just dealing with some of the waste matter and pulling a little bit of energy out of it as it's being burned. And so it's just a powerful, powerful, powerful remedy. And so every retreat that we have, we start it with a juice fast. Every regimen when we're coaching people, it starts with a fast. Our fasts are mainly juicing. You can do water-only fast. I do recommend, if you have never done it for any significant period of time, probably better to do that under supervision. But people have lived on water just for 40 days, done a 40-day fast on water only. That's right, friends, water only. And there are facilities out there. That's all they do. They do water-only fast. So people just go to convalesce and relax. And you don't do too much when you're on a water fast. You can't stand up too fast. You can't move too fast, because your blood pressure will drop because you're not taking on any calories, just water. And so you want to make your movements very deliberate and slow. And when you get up slowly. And you spend a lot of time just resting, sitting, resting, reading, praying, you know, that type of thing. But a lot of people will tell you that even in water fasting, they got rid of a lot of conditions, autoimmune conditions caused by leaky gut syndrome, that type of thing. So just want to tell you what it does and why. It's because when the body senses that it's not getting what it used to get, then it says, hey, we've got to find something that's going to give me energy. And it'll start with the least desirable. So if you have something in you that does not belong, fasting actually causes the body to say, let me burn this up and see if there's some energy in that. And that's how it works. So it's a beautiful concept. It's much better. When you think of the goal of chemotherapy, it would be to target only the bad and leave all the good intact. Fasting, juice fasting particularly, would be nature's natural chemotherapy because it targets the bad and leaves the good intact. So that's our lesson for today. Is there a comment as we begin to look at our roll call? We have this morning Maryland on the line, Delaware, and Georgia. And on the call, I'm sorry, on Facebook, we have South Carolina, we have North Carolina, and I'm not so sure where my dear brother Tony is from. Maybe he can type it in and let us know. Any questions, press star 6. If there's any on Facebook, just put them in the comments and we'll read them. All right, we've got Sister Desiree on the line. We'll take her call at this time.
Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, Pastor Flemings and Sister Flemings. Good morning, good morning. I'd just like to say give honor and thanks to God this morning. A friend of mine, I actually forgot it, said, I'm going to treat you for your birthday. And she said, what would you like to do? And she said, we could go walk and we could do this. And or adventure. I said, let's take an adventure.
Amen.
We literally on Sabbath went for, now she's not a Sabbath keeper and that's okay. She and I went for a trail walk in nature and we ended up on this huge cliff. And I told her, this is the closest I've ever been to the mountaintop.
Hmm.
And I said, Lord, I always wanted to really, honestly, go to the mountaintop like Moses did. I ain't going to lie to you. I just wanted that kind of experience. Mm-hmm. So I told her the closest I could get to it was a hill off of 40. And I said, I will stay at the top of that hill. And I just,
amen,
stuff that was in me, I said, I'm going to leave it up here because this gentleman came and his name was Matthew. His mother named him Matthew, and he shared with us when he saw the two of us holding hands up there, he could imagine his mother being up there because she doesn't have the ability. So that gave him something to think about and to reminisce on. He said it was the most beautiful thing because he imagined his own mother being up there who cannot be at a place like that. And we exchanged, you know, testimonies. So I just thank God that I was on this trail, though I was complaining. I said, Lord, how long is this adventure taking to get to my friend? Because GPS took me a very long way from Delaware to Maryland. And nonetheless, got there. I said, God, forgive me for complaining. It was worth the drive. And I just want to say hallelujah and just thank God. I can't really express it. But I just realized, you know, the junk that's in me and that God cleansed it and cleansed me and burned it off so that I won't be found lacking because I see my lack. And I just ask that I continue this journey and give me strength to fully engage into a plant life living. That's what I call it, plant life living. my own little acronym as I return to the garden. So I just said, Father, thank you. And, and just asking him for the forgiveness of my sins and showing me where I lack, because I did ask him that. And humbly so that I continue on this journey and that I engage into reading more. You know, it's a weakness, but where I will read more and have a joy for reading. But that's all. That's my test. I want to hold up somebody else may want to have the opportunity to speak. So I just want to say thank you, God. I'm so filled right now. I could go on and on, as they would say, to the break of dawn. But I won't do that. So I just want to say thank you for this. I just want to say thank you for this ministry. Thank you for giving your mother's testimony about this end of life as she transitioned. I just want to say thank you for that, because I'm even gleaning from that information as well. So thank you for sharing your mother's transition. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right, brothers and sisters, is there anyone else that would like to share anything this morning? It is 6:41. We've got about 19 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone that would like to share anything. Psalm 48 has a song I learned many, many years ago. And let me see, maybe I can find it another way on the computer. It's a little bit bigger screen. And I'll just sing this song to you. It begins with the words, "Great is the Lord." That's why I wanted to sing it. But it's verse 1. It includes verse 2. It includes verse 11 and verse 14. 1, 2, 11, and 14. And verse 2, I believe, is the chorus. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad, because of thy judgment. Verse 12, walk about Zion, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. You know, brothers and sisters, the reason why it says the sides of the north, if you go back to the earthly sanctuary, which is a replica of the heavenly sanctuary, the most northernly piece of furniture was the table of showbread. That represents God's word. Let's go to Jeremiah real quickly, 15:16, because we got a little time so that I can show you that. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, and the Bible says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Then if you go to Job chapter 23, Job chapter 23, and as we look at verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And of course, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Those are three scriptures letting us know that God's word is what was represented in the sides of the north. And that's why Satan wanted to set up his kingdom in the sides of the north. It says that in Isaiah 14:12-14. He wants to get rid of God's word. If we stay with God's word and we surrender to it, submit to it, we're guaranteed a place in the kingdom. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. We thank you, Brother Peyton. He said, happy Sunday, Pastor Shella, and Sister Maria Fleming. God bless. both of you. Thank you, brother, and God bless you as well. And we do have Sister Lenny on the phone, on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Yes, happy Sunday.
I'm not sure if you are, or anyone on the line is familiar with the Foster triplets. They are three beautiful young ladies who God has impressed me to pray for them, their health, their ministry. And mm-hmm. so when that came to me, I've been praying for them since then. It's been about a couple months that I've been praying for them. I do know that one or two of them are plant-based eaters. So I've been asking God to bless their life, bless their ministry. One of them, I think it's Malika, has a problem with her eye. I've been praying for that. I just want to ask that you would join me and pray for these three young ladies that and their parents, that God will sustain them in their ministry and allow them to eat the way that God would have them to eat, so that, you know, their voices will be a blessing, because their voices have been a blessing to me. So I'm just asking for special prayer for them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time for our closing prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the experience that Sister Desiree had on the mountaintop. We know that it's a far cry from the Mount Zion, but you gave her a glimpse, just as Jesus was transfigured on an earthly mountain to signify his second coming. We just thank you that she's full and that she just can't tell it all. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the Foster triplets and all of them, that their health will be sustained, their spiritual walk will be strengthened, and that you'll bless their ministry. We ask that you'll continue to be with Sister Lenny, be with all of us as we strive to do your will. We pray also for my dear mother, that you will bless her and keep her calm, keep her in peace. There's no sign that she's in any discomfort, and we just ask that when her assignment is fully over, that there will be a sweet spirit in her room, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And that you will watch over her until the resurrection morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. Oh, we do have Sister Desiree. We'll go ahead, because we have a little more time, we'll go ahead and take her call. Good morning again, Sister Desiree.
Hi, yes, I wanted to say, though she was not a Sabbath keeper, she was keeping Sabbath yesterday. And, it was the best Sabbath. It was the best Sabbath ever I've ever had. I encourage us to take those. She said she committed to something she always wanted to do, was do those trail walks, and it's encouraged me to find some trails in Delaware that I can go to and do trail walks and be in nature during this season, as the summer and spring are here. So I just wanted to encourage us to find some trails or state parks in our area to get closer to God, where he can talk to us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That's a powerful witness as well, to encourage others to join us on the Sabbath. As long as the conversation is Sabbath, you know, conversation, maybe we can encourage them along that line. And that's how people learn about the Sabbath, by our witness. Praise the Lord. All right, our time is up. We'll go ahead and say our final salutation in Scripture and reading. It says, "But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of." God bless you. Our closing song, "I Will Trust in the Lord."
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord.